college football, college basketball, Division I to Division III. Let's talk about it all on the Journey House College Sports Show. Powered by Waterstone Bank and presented by Soul Boxer. Alongside Dan Underberg, here is your host, Don Wachilis.
Welcome in. It's a Thursday night as we get ready for the Journey House College Sports Show powered by Waterstone Bank right here on 1250 AM The Fan in Odyssey Station. Don Wachilis along with the Professor Dan Underberg and Sam Schmidt sitting in tonight to do our producing for the next 2 hours. As we said, we're going to make our way through the Sweet 16. Coming up in the not-too-distant future, we'll look at the Badgers and what still hurts when you think about that loss to Iowa State back on Sunday. We'll talk about the coaching carousel. A lot of coaches obviously let go and a lot of coaches hired within the last week or so. So we'll get to all of that. A look at the transfer portal with regards to the Wisconsin Badgers and who they're thinking about or potentially bringing in as part of their recruiting process. And then when we get to hour number two at the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to welcome in Bart Lundy, the new head coach at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Coach Lundy will be joining us at the top of the second hour. And then right after we talk to Coach Lundy, we're going to bring in the head coach at Randolph-Macon College. It's Josh Merkel. They are the Division III national champions. So we'll talk with head coach Josh Merkel again right around 7:20. But as we get started with our show today, knowing that the Sweet 16 is underway, before we can even talk about that, we've got to look back on what was really, really just a tough one to take on Sunday, and that was the Badger loss to a number 11 seed in Iowa State down at the Fiserv Forum, 54-49. The Badgers, and Coach Gard said it, they could not hit water if they fell out of a boat. They could not shoot the basketball, and it became even more glaring with the injury to Chucky Hepburn in that 4 minute and change mark in the first half where he went down with the ankle injury, not having your leader on the floor. So there were a couple of things happening all at once in the midst of a very important game. So you lose your floor general in Chucky Hepburn. And I'll be honest, I knew Chucky Hepburn was important to that team. I knew what he had been doing as far as running the point guard position for the Wisconsin Badgers. What he had been doing as a freshman was unmistakably critical to how the team ran. And yet on the spectrum of how important he was, I don't know if I would have 2-3 weeks ago categorized his importance in the way in which we saw that team struggle on Sunday once the injury took place. The other thing that was so blatantly obvious is that this team all season long overcame one critical aspect that they could not overcome on Sunday. And that was the fact that Wisconsin just does not have a shooter. Brad Davison can get hot at times. Johnny Davis can get hot at times from the perimeter. But hot at times does not necessarily quantify you as a shooter. And that's what the Badgers were missing. So Brad Davison gave you Brad Davison. He gave you hustle. He gave you tenacity. He's a thorn in an opponent's side. He puts it all out on the floor. But he wasn't the only one missing shots. Johnny Davis, teams had figured out. Go back a couple of years and remember when the Bucks were in the playoffs and everybody was losing their mind because they figured out how to stop Giannis. They built the wall. Remember the wall? Put a bunch of guys in the lane, build the wall, stop Giannis. Make Giannis play from the perimeter. And the Bucks struggled. You kind of got a mini version of that with Iowa State on Sunday. If you can stop Johnny Davis off the dribble penetration, off the wing, whether it's the right or left side, and force him to shoot right now, his shooting is not such that it's as consistent as you would like. Now, Johnny Davis, in a couple of years, when that shot further gets developed, is going to be a really good ball player at the next level in the NBA. I have no question about it. He's a sophomore. He's going to have things that need to be elevated within his game. And one of those things is simply his shooting. He's just a dynamic player. He's too athletic for that shot not to come and be developed as the years go on. But where it stands right now, it's just not there yet. And you mix that with the fact that Tyler Wahl was good. He wasn't great on Sunday. And Stephen Kral kind of disappeared on us. He showed his youth on Sunday. He got bumped around a little bit. He got kind of, you know, out of sorts. And it became a struggle. And so you have a Badger team, with all of that said, not able to overcome. The Badgers shot 9% from beyond the arc. You're not going to win a basketball game, or many, if any, when you shoot 9% from beyond the arc. And yet, when all was said and done, they still only lost by 5 points. So I watched the game again today, and maybe that's why I'm a little frustrated again. Maybe I shouldn't have watched it again. But when you watch that game and you see how many times they were there, they had a shot at taking the lead. They had a shot of closing the gap and maybe getting over that proverbial hill and get that lead and kind of run away with it and put Iowa State over into the corner. Let them be. Let's move on to the Sweet 16 and figure out what we're going to do after the injury to Chucky Hepburn. They just couldn't do it. And they couldn't do it with some of the looks that they were getting. They had open looks. Iowa State played some really, really incredible defense against the Badgers. But coming off of certain screens, you had various players on the floor at any given time, especially in that second half, who had clear looks at the basket. And I don't know if I've ever seen a team miss as poorly as the Badgers did on Sunday. Yes, they hit the front of the rim a few times, a couple on the back plate. There's one, and I think it was Tyler Wahl. I got to learn to read my own handwriting. I think it was Tyler Wahl. It seemed like that ball took two laps around the cylinder and felt like it was ready to fall through and then suddenly just popped out. They had some bad breaks. And then there were other times where people are shooting off of the wing and missed everything. They looked like they went to my shooting school and then tried to take what I would teach them on the floor, which gives you an idea how good a shooter I am. They missed everything. They were hitting cheerleaders along the baseline with their jump shots. Some of those misses were absolutely horrific. But then what happens after that? We get into situations then where, because of social media, we're angry, right? We're frustrated. We thought this team, at the very least, would be a Sweet 16 team. And so right away, you'll see on Twitter, Instagram, whatever the social media platform that you're looking at, suddenly people are like, the Badgers didn't even belong. Why are they even on the floor? They don't belong in the tournament. Let's take a step back. It's hard to in the midst of it. I get it. When you're frustrated, when you're rooting for your team and they're not playing the way you want them to play or you hope they would play, it is absolutely frustrating. But yet the overreaction hopefully has died down a little bit. Let's remember a couple of things going into this season. Going into this season, they had three returning players. Think of the senior-laden team that was last year. Think of all of those, obviously, that then left. And then remember, we had three returning players going into this season. We had a team that was picked 10th. In the Big Ten. In the preseason poll, the Badgers were picked 10th. And yet, when we get to the end of the season, we have a Badger team that wins a share of the regular season conference championship. They get to the NCAA tournament with a 3 seed. They are a team that finished 25-8. In the six seasons that Greg Gard has been the head coach at Wisconsin, this is the second most wins he's ever notched during the season. You had Greg Gard, who picked up Big Ten Coach of the Year. You had Johnny Davis, who was Big Ten Player of the Year. You have Johnny Davis, who's one of the four finalists for the Naismith Award. There were too many really good things that took place with this ball club to overreact over a loss. Now, I know there are some out there that will immediately, you're looking at it, you're being panacenic. It's just, you know, you've got to be more critical. I don't see how. I bet you right now, if you went on the Odyssey app and you put in through the app a sports talk radio show down in Kentucky, nobody is calling for Calipari's head. Nobody. And yet they lost to a 15 seed. St. Peter's. We're going to talk about them in a second segment. Cinderella has a slipper and it's St. Peter's. But you have a number two seed losing to a 15. These things happen. We're looking at a number of teams already that have fallen, much like the Badgers have, and it's one of the things that makes the NCAA tournament what it is. It is one of the most exciting times of the year for college basketball. And so, again, you don't want to overreact to the point where you start wanting to run people out of town and forget the type of success that you saw throughout the regular season. And I know we're going to have people that are going to say, listen, the regular season is wonderful, but it doesn't bring championships. I get it. I don't know necessarily how I would push back and argue against it. I just know that considering what took place last year, and I'll get to that in just a sec here, that you cannot necessarily whitewash what was a spectacular year for the Wisconsin Badgers. And what I was saying about what happened last year, think about the whole Alondo Tucker thing where he, and I'll use the term correctly here because I don't want any emails from a lawyer, he allegedly was working behind the scenes with Barry Alvarez trying to get Gard fired. We've all, I shouldn't say it that way, many people have heard the tape that was distributed to various news agencies of a meeting that Gard had with many of those seniors. That could have been his end. That could have been the end, really, to the Wisconsin program. And yet, Greg Gard has persevered, and the team persevered. More importantly, the team persevered. There have been a few times when this team has been in, a little bit of trouble because of things happening off the court. And they've been in trouble, and Gard has figured out a way to rally the wagon, so to speak, and to get this team moving forward. It just so happened when you get to the NCAA tournament, there's certain elements you're going to need in order to advance. We constantly hear the pundits talk about guard play. Well, we saw that for a fact. And we saw our freshman guard go down in the second round, and we saw the way the team struggled. They'll talk about players in the post. And as I alluded to earlier, our players in the post weren't as dominant as they had been at various times during the year. And you also are going to need someone who can shoot the basketball. And because you need someone who can shoot the basketball consistently when things aren't working, when you're trying to get the ball down to the block, all of those three components kind of manifested themselves on Sunday and reared their ugly head, and not one component of the three I just mentioned was able to overtake like we saw during the year. Yeah, it's tough. I was really hoping tonight that we were either talking about who the Badgers would play tomorrow or who they would play later this evening in the Sweet 16. I thought this team had enough in it to get to this point this weekend, and anything that happened after this weekend would have been icing on the cake. And they didn't. And yes, it's disappointing, But let's take a half step back. You don't even need to take a full step back. Take a half step back. Or better yet, since nobody in basketball these days calls traveling, take three or four steps back. Ain't nobody going to call it anyway. And just appreciate what this team did. This team rose to the occasion when no one thought they would. When you're picked 10th in the preseason, no one is respecting what you have as a team whatsoever within your conference. And yet they ended up winning a share of the Big Ten. Quite honestly, should have won it outright. We saw what happens of those three elements I was speaking of against Nebraska. Back at the end of the regular season, we were starting to see some cracks in the armor, so to speak, with those three elements. And that loss to Nebraska, the loss to Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament all kind of compounded itself. And they struggled against Colgate. They got the win, but they struggled because, once again, if you remember against Colgate, what happened in the beginning, we struggled shooting. And that shooter, that lack of a shooter, is what really cost the Wisconsin Badgers. So when we get a little bit later in the show, when we get into the transfer portal, we're going to bring up some guys that Greg Gard might have his eye on within the transfer portal, because as important as it is now to be out there recruiting at the high school level, the transfer portal is one of those elements that really need to be looked at in order to assist your team. We've seen a lot of teams get old quick. Why do sometimes mid-majors have success in the tournament? It's because, especially in the past, mid-majors have had a team that has played together for four, sometimes even 5 years. And so they understand, they have that sense about where somebody's going to be on the floor. There's a level of maturity. So that when you play a team like Kentucky, even though they are more athletic, even though the players at Kentucky are more dynamic, you get a team like St. Peter's that rolls in and they're not fazed by it. They've been together as a group. They've been through all the ups and downs. And we've seen some other teams that have fallen into that category that aren't mid-majors, but they've brought in what we'll call veterans, upperclassmen, into their program, mix them quite well with freshmen and sophomores that they've already had in place. And we've seen what those teams can do, especially now in the NCAA tournament. So we can't be surprised by what St. Peter's is doing at the mid-major level, because you've got that unit that's been together for quite a while. All right, let's take a break. On the other side of the break, let's talk about the aforementioned St. Peter's. We're going to see if we can't get the microphone working for our friend the professor. And we'll also look at some of the other teams that are getting ready to play tonight and tomorrow as we make our way through the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. And we'll do it all after this. Journey House, College Sports Show, powered by Waterstone Bank, right here, 1250 AM, The Fan. Welcome in once again, Journey House College Sports Show, powered by Waterstone Bank, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan. Don Wachilis, now joined by the professor, Dan Underberg. Sam Schmitz is producing tonight's show as we talk about the Sweet 16, and I'll come back a little bit later, and we'll get Dan's thoughts on the Badger game, and maybe not. Maybe Dan doesn't want to talk about the Badger game from last Sunday. But, Dan, we've got Cinderella. Cinderella has a slipper, and it is St. Pete. Sam, give us a little peacock here, would you please?
This is March.
Asking God, to shall
I hope
receive.
They keep winning, because I want to keep using that sound effect.
Oh, you're telling me.
Oh, really? Really? Oh, man.
That is such good stuff.
Wow.
you can't run away from something like that. So Dan, every year, as I was saying in the first segment, we get a team like St. Pete because you've got this group that's cohesive. They've played together. They're mature. They're upperclassmen. And they don't get fazed by too much. And it just so happens St. Pete is that team this year. They've got to take on Purdue now in the Sweet 16. Is this the end of the road? Is this where Cinderella loses the slipper?
Yeah, I think it is. I just think, you know, St. Pete had the – I think they were matched up well enough to go up against the Kentucky, and they were matched up well enough to take on Murray State and to win. I think they were just right. But, man, I just think in this case against Purdue, Purdue is just too big, too strong underneath, too talented underneath. And I just think this is one of those cases where even though the Big Ten has taken a beating in this tournament, I think this is a matchup where St. Pete doesn't do well. I've enjoyed the ride with St. Pete, but I think it ends here.
I just wonder where defensively does St. Pete go? You have to figure, because Purdue can shoot from the outside with Ivy. So do I double team the perimeter and leave the block alone? Or am I going to double team the block and hope that somebody's having an off night from the perimeter? It just seems, Dan, that Purdue's size is what's going to cause the biggest issue. So you have to figure, let me just double everybody up top, because the big guy is going to get his points down low, and maybe we can do just enough to disrupt and keep ourselves viable as the game goes. But I just feel like St. Pete's got to protect the perimeter. And whatever happens on the block, happens on the block.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about size, and, you know, St. Pete is, just reading this now, the 295th tallest team. let me say that again. They're not one, they're not two. They're the 295th tallest team, and I think there's, what, 310 teams total in Division I, something like that. Whatever they're going to do, they're going to have to win with speed, and they're going to have to win with guts, but there's not enough. And honestly, guys, the way Ivy is playing right now, he has just completely taken this to another level. He's one of those two or three players every tournament that has just, they're using it as an opportunity to showcase and just show everything that they can do. And man, I mean, they can ride Ivy all the way into the Final Four.
Oh, definitely. They can definitely ride him to the Final Four. Ivy reminds me right now of the tournament he's having, a little bit like Ja Morant. I think nationally, I think those of us who follow the Big Ten kind of knew who Ivy was. But I think now nationally people are starting to understand what the press was about. The other person that I've been extremely happy for as far as the Peacocks go, and that's Shaheen Holloway, the coach there, who's got that team playing at such a high level. And you know that once St. Peter's is bounced from the tournament, he's about to get paid, because you know with all of the vacancies, he's about to move to that Division I level and get himself a pretty promising job.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know what? That's one of those cases where you hate to see teams like this lose their coach, but that's just the natural order of things. And you're right, he's earned the opportunity to take a team that honestly nobody has thought of, nobody's really heard of. I mean, did anybody even know that there was a nickname the Peacocks before St. Pete showed up? Anybody? So, from there on, it's just he's earned the chance to take a larger program to see what he can do. But you know what? Someday I'm hoping one of these guys just decides to stick around and say, you know, I've got a good thing here. We're going to build something here, and I'm just going to stick with it.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I just, for somebody like that to take that particular job, and then, all indications are he's headed to Seton Hall. Like, Seton Hall, with the opening that they have, has Kevin Willard took the Maryland job, and now with that vacancy, all signs are pointing to Seton Hall. I just think, you know, like a player does, you know, all these kids in college are looking to play at the next level. Same thing with the coaches. They're looking to take that next step, even though, as you said, Dan, it would be really nice to see one of these guys stick around, but it's hard to turn an opportunity like that down.
It's more money. Yeah.
Yes, and you've got to take it while the iron is hot, right? If you sit and wait one more year, you never know if those positions are going to be open, and you never know what the next year is going to bring if you are going to be the hottest ticket in town, so to speak.
Yeah, you're right. I no argument. One of those cases where you have an opportunity to showcase your talents as a coach and then kind of reestablish these talents and say, look, this wasn't a fluke. I'm doing this at a larger program, a more established program. And quite honestly, I have the opportunity to, and I mean this not not sarcastically, but to line a bank account so you can live a better lifestyle, help his family more, do those things, then you got to take it. I mean, every coach typically wants to show how far they can go at a higher level. So he's got to take this chance, and I don't think anybody's going to blame him.
Yeah, I don't think so at all. So St. Peter's will take on Purdue tomorrow a little bit after 6 will be the opening tip. And before we get off of the Peacock, Sam, you got sound effect ready there. Go ahead, hit it one more time. We got to. It just, you gotta use it while you can, because you don't know how many more hours are left in the tank for St. Peter's. But Dad, what about Doug Eater? I got a young man with a bad 70s mustache who hit a bunch of shots against Kentucky, and now he's getting out there at St. Peter's, he's getting NIL deals.
Yes.
With things like BW3s because of one game. Yep. Go get him, Doug Eater. That's all I could say.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. You know, we think about NIL deals and we think about people just, you know, using their name, image, likeness in general. We typically think about, you know, beautiful people, right?
Yes.
You know, chiseled and, you know, things we will never know, right?
Yes.
Here's the thing about Doug Eater. He's so recognizable.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, I'll just say it, he's so goofy looking, you can't take your eyes off it. He's got the goofy mustache, he's got the hair, he's got kind of the stunned look walking around. It works. And so there's no question that he would be hot on a short-term NIL list, because people are going to recognize him right away. He's the guy from St. Peter's. He's the guy with the weird form that somehow managed to turn that into 2 wins in the NCAA tournament, take down Kentucky. And he, the other thing, Don, Sam too, it's just he's got a bit of a personality. It just
yes.
works. So why not sign him up?
Yeah, he's not shy in front of the camera, that's for sure. And I think all of that comes together, as you said, to create a situation like he's got now with BW3s. The picture that they posted on social media looks like he's sitting at a card table inside of a dorm room with just a bunch of BW3 boxes, like he's devouring. And here's my NIL deal. So good for him. I'm not picking whatsoever. Good for him. Take advantage of every single second that you can, because you never know when the clock strikes 12 and when Cinderella's slipper goes flying off of St. Peter's. We've got a couple other games that are taking place tonight. Michigan and Villanova. I don't think I'm going to, in my lifetime, Dan, root for Villanova as much as I am this evening. I am absolutely surprised at how Michigan has played in that first 2 rounds of the tournament. A team that at times this year just almost looked dysfunctional on the floor, looked like the team in the first 2 rounds that we thought Michigan was going to be. They're going to play a really good Villanova team. And the one thing we know about Villanova, Professor, is that they can hit their free throws. So if your thought is, in the midst of things, trying to put some of these guys on the line, Villanova, the best free throw shooting team in college basketball, to me, that's going to be the difference. And I'll take Villanova to beat Michigan this evening here in the Sweet 16.
So this pains me to say, because I am rooting for Villanova too, but if I'm thinking there's going to be an upset, the way Michigan is playing, the way Michigan is feeling, the momentum to move forward, the confidence that they have. And let's not forget that the Wildcats have lost to Marquette multiple times. Why not Michigan right now? Really, why not? And so I'm not wanting the Wolverines to win, but if I have an upset pick tonight, I think it's going to be Michigan.
All right, so Texas Tech and Duke, Houston and Arizona. Let's go Texas Tech and Duke. Who survives? Is this Coach K's final game, or does he go to the Elite Eight?
I think Coach, no, this is, Coach K will continue. I think he's got at least one more game left.
Okay.
I think that Duke is gonna move forward on this one.
Last game of the night, Houston and Arizona. Arizona got into the Sweet 16 by the miss of a call. that you and I could spend 2 hours talking about refereeing here on the show this evening. But the call that wasn't made allowed for overtime against TCU, and they end up winning the game in overtime. And now they're taking on a really red-hot Houston team. And so I personally, I had Arizona cutting down the nets. I don't know if I'm feeling that same way, and I'm going to wonder if they have enough in them, Daniel, to get past Houston.
I think they do, because as much as, you know, Houston might be the hot pick right now, my thing is that Houston, again, I don't think they're as strong as their record shows. I think they've had some pretty weak wins. I think Arizona is just a stronger team, and I think they have – Arizona is just going to pull this one out.
All right, so again, Sweet 16 going on right now. Arkansas and Gonzaga, the first game of the night taking place. They're in the first half. Michigan and Villanova getting ready, or have maybe already tipped, now that I finally get my head to look up and see the clock. So those are the first two, and then Texas Tech, Duke, Houston, Arizona to follow those games up here on this Thursday. Time for us to take a break. On the other side of the break, with everything going on, there's quite the coaching carousel in college basketball. We'll talk about some of the big hires and the big vacancies on the other side of the break. Journey House College Sports Show, powered by Waterstone Bank, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan. Welcome back in. Journey House College Sports Show, powered by Waterstone Bank, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan. Before we get any further, want to wish the Marquette Golden Eagles women's team good luck, as they're going to take the floor tonight at the Al McGuire Center. The tip is at 7 o'clock. They're in the third round of the WNIT tournament. They'll be taking on Toledo, so good luck to Marquette. They win the other night by beating Purdue 77-62 to advance to the third round of the WNIT. So good luck to the Marquette Golden Eagles women's team. It's the only college team we have still playing in our fair state. So let's get to some of the coaches that have been hired and fired, and the carousel spins as we make our way into March. As I noted before, Maryland hired Seton Hall coach Kevin Willard. LSU hired Murray State coach Mac McMahon, and I only laugh and giggle because they finally, after, 5 years, have gotten rid of what was one of the underbellies of the coaching ranks. I'll say it that way. Xavier hired Sean Miller, but I think when we were talking, Dan, about people having an opportunity in March to somewhat make a name for themselves, to get exposed, so to speak, and then take advantage of it, I don't think there's a better one than Lamont Paris, the former Wisconsin Badger assistant coach who was the head coach at Chattanooga. Chattanooga, with that miraculous half-court shot to get to the tournament, he's agreed now to be the head coach of the Gamecocks in South Carolina. 5 years, $12 million for Lamont Paris. And that's just a segment, Professor, of all of the various vacancies and hires that have happened seemingly within maybe the last 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting the way this really plays out, because, I might be wrong, but it feels like there's more. It seems like we're in one of those cycles where there are a lot more open positions than there have been in the past. And you know then that there's this domino effect of the coaching trail, where someone moves on, then it opens up other opportunities for maybe, you know, other levels of college that we weren't expecting. Or as time goes on as well, you're going to see, you know, assistant coaches just kind of get moved straight into the head coaching position for that same school. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. What I love about this is it breaks up the monotony of the same coaches going to the, you know, getting the same opportunities. You get to see new young coaches come in with different energies and different, cultures and perspectives and what they want to bring to a team. And ultimately, that just helps college basketball.
You know what's funny is how many schools in the SEC on the basketball side of things have fired their coaches. There seems to be Daniel, a greater emphasis on basketball in the SEC, almost seemingly now thinking that as a conference, you know, we've kind of conquered football. We're the big daddy here when we're talking about football. Now we're trying to elevate our basketball programs to that same level. And we're seeing a lot of teams in the SEC have what I'll call short fuses with their basketball coaches in firing and hiring others, as you said, trying to change the culture and tradition on the basketball side within these universities that have been highly successful on the football side of things.
Well, the SEC, I think they're figuring out, number one, their reputation from football is being the Mac Daddy of college athletics, period. You know, and so there is now an expectation that they're going to carry over into basketball. But there's also a financial issue here, too, which is when the SEC underperforms in basketball, they're leaving money on the table that these smaller conferences are picking up. You know, when a team from a conference gets into the first round, second round, third round, the entire conference gets a bit of a split of that money. Yes, the team gets a bulk of it, but the entire conference is compensated for a team getting in. So you want to have, like, you know, the Big Ten had 8-9 teams get in there. The Big Ten sees a lot of benefit from that. The SEC isn't seeing that, and they're realizing, wait a minute, this is we're the SEC. There's tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars being left there because we're not paying enough attention to basketball, and that's probably changing now.
Yeah, and you're right. It's always the bottom line is always the dollar sign, and the dollar sign is what drives conferences to do some of the things that they do and universities to do what they do. And so, again, you're seeing this seemingly bigger emphasis on basketball in the SEC than I can ever remember. There are certain schools that I don't remember ever really having the emphasis they've had on basketball. And I'm talking about the SEC now that I've seen in the last, let's say, 5 to 10 years. One other coach to mention is the fact that Frank Martin, who is out at South Carolina, he was the one fired, may now be signing here within the next 24 hours, the report is, with UMass. So Frank Martin may be going to UMass. If you don't know who Frank Martin is and you've got Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is, Frank Martin will go on some of the best tangents in a press conference of any coach that I can think of. He'll talk about the refereeing and he'll talk about it at the youth level. And he makes a lot of sense, and he's one of these guys who's very straightforward and to the point and doesn't really beat around anything in order to say what he needs to say. So if you're on Twitter, if you're on Instagram, if you're on any social media platform, go ahead and like Frank Martin and scroll through and look at some of his post-game interviews or just his pressers during and after the season. There are some things that Frank Martin kind of gets on a roll about, and I really think you'll enjoy it in a good way. I mean, I think he makes a lot of sense when he says certain things. Don't forget, again, as we said going into this segment, that coming up here in about 14 minutes, it'll be the Marquette Golden Eagles in the third round of the WNIT down at the Al McGuire Center, tipping off against Toledo. After beating Purdue the other night, now they'll face Toledo in the third round. So good luck to the Marquette Golden Eagles women's program in the WNIT. We'll take a break. On the other side of the break, we head into the Twilight Zone, otherwise known as the Transfer Portal, and take a look at an article that Jeff Patricus had in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about some of the potential players that Greg Gard and the Wisconsin Badgers could be looking at when it comes to bringing some players onto this squad from the portal. And we'll get to it next. Journey House College Sports Show, powered by Waterstone Bank, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
With a key, you unlock a door to imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sight. A dimension of sound. A dimension of mind. You're moving through a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. Guiding you through this wondrous journey is the hypnotic sound of the Twilight Zone.
Welcome back in. Journey House College Sports Show powered by Waterstone Bank right here on 1250 AM The Fan. We're about to head into the Twilight Zone, otherwise known as, in our book, the transfer portal, and talk about some players that the Badgers might actually think about bringing in, according to Jeff Patricus in his article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But before we do that, Sam, I know you got some updates on the two games taking place right now in the Sweet 16.
I do. I want to remind you guys, tournament coverage is brought to you by Discount Liquors on the Fan for the best selection for everyday low prices. Visit their two locations on Oklahoma Avenue and Main and Barstone, downtown Waukesha. Currently, Villanova leading Michigan right now, 18-13, and then also Gonzaga only leading by 1 point on Arkansas right now with about 2 minutes left in the first half.
Yeah, we'll see how those play out as we make our way through the show tonight. Want to remind you, at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Bart Lundy, the new head men's basketball coach at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. So please stay tuned for that as Coach will be joining us again at the top of the next hour. So, Professor, Jeff Patricus had a couple of names that he listed in his article. Under the assumption, obviously, that Johnny Davis will be headed for the 2022 NBA draft. We know, obviously, Brad Davidson's eligibility is up, even though Brad Davidson seemingly has been there for 537 years. Matthew Moores, a redshirt freshman, has decided to transfer. And I have to say, there's one thing I have to say about Wisconsin before we get into some of these names, Dan, and that is publicly, the coaches seemingly say the right things. So Greg Gard, when asked about Moores and his putting himself in the transfer portal, essentially said, look, I've had conversations with the young man. For lack of a better way, he's homesick. He wants to go back home. Mm-hmm. He wants to be closer to home. And I preach family. We preach team. So how can I prevent him from doing something like that? Meaningly, I want to go back home. I want to be at least closer to home to finish out my college career. We saw the same thing happen with Paul Christ, with some of the things that happened on the football team. They just do it right at Wisconsin, as far as at least publicly letting the fans know, the fan base know what is taking place. So Jeff Patricus had a couple of names, Dan, and I want to know if any of these are on your list, so to speak, of players that you would love to see come into Wisconsin, because we're going to have to plug some holes, so to speak. All teams are going to have to do that as players enter the portal or they graduate. And what we've seen with some teams is the chemistry is just as important as the talent. So Jeff Patricus, he named four, and I've got one more I want to throw in here in a moment, but Nelly Cummings from Colgate, Antonio Reeves from Illinois State, Grant Basel from Wright State, and Jalen Llewellyn from Princeton. Any of those four that you would put, let's say, at number one in your book, Professor?
Number one? We got nearly burned by Colgate, and so I would want to know, seriously, and we have need for people that can shoot from the outside, so why not? Yeah. I think that would be one of the ways. If there's anything the last game told us, we need help shooting the ball. So why not take – it's almost like this is divine. We played against the team that was one of the best at shooting three-point shots. So what – take it. Here's a gift. So I would do that. But maybe this is me being, ignorant or arrogant about this one. But I like the idea of taking guys that have come from established programs. And so looking at Princeton and knowing what they run and the success that they've had, there's a part of that that just kind of reaches out to me too a little bit. The reality is, you went back to the comment about, culture and talent. We've seen plenty of talented teams, Wisconsin from 2 years ago, that because the culture was screwed up, they couldn't play right.
That's true.
Whomever we bring in, the reality is the game, college football and college basketball, they've got to be able to fill a gap. They are essentially free agents, and they're going to have a particular role to fill. So let's find the best people that can do that. But they've got to fit into the Wisconsin culture. Otherwise, it's just not going to work.
The only other name I would add to the ones that we just read off from Jeff Patricus' article That is, keep an eye on Dante Allen. He's coming out of Kentucky. He's entering the transfer portal. Was unable to really get off the bench for Calipari down there. He's an excellent shooter who struggled a little bit this year, but had made his mark from shooting beyond the arc. He was Mr. Kentucky a couple of years ago coming out of high school, but because he's gotten buried on the bench, he's entered the transfer portal. And again, as Dan was just saying, and as I was saying earlier in the show, it's the inability to shoot from the perimeter that kind of sunk the Wisconsin Badgers back on Sunday. So finding somebody who can step in and take that role, finding somebody who's already been somewhat groomed at the college game to do so would be so beneficial for the Wisconsin Badgers. All right, we got to take a break as we roll to the top of the hour. When we come back, we're going to be talking with the new head coach at UWM. For the Panthers, it's Bart Lundy. He'll be joining us next. Journey House College Sports Show, powered by Waterstone Bank, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
College football, college basketball, Division I to Division III. Let's talk about it all on the Journey House College Sports Show, powered by Waterstone Bank and presented by Soul Boxer. Alongside Dan Underberg, here is your host, Don Wachilis.
Once again, welcome back in Journey House College Sports Show, powered by Waterstone Bank, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan and Odyssey Station. Don Wachilis, along with the professor Dan Underberg, Sam Schmidt sitting in and making sure that we do things the correct way here over this last hour of the show. And right now, very pleased to jump to the great Midwest Bank hotline and bring in the brand new coach at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. It's head coach now for the Panthers, Bart Lundy. Coach, welcome in. Welcome to Milwaukee, and it's great to have you on our show here tonight.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate you having me. I've been looking forward to it all day.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Coach. Welcome in. I know it's got to be a hectic time for you, not only in trying to get yourself established as far as the athletic department goes, but I know there's some things that need to take place with the family and moving and things of that nature. So we're very pleased that you want to take a few minutes and talk about your now position as the head coach at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Coach, for those that haven't seen your team play at the Division II level out there in Queens, what style of basketball are you bringing to Panther Arena?
Well, we will play a style that is tough and hard-nosed, and we play full-court defense, mostly man-to-man, and we play pretty fast. We'll run on misses and makes, play pretty efficiently, hopefully, and guys that share the ball and play with a lot of energy, be in great shape. And it's going to be it'll be exciting, but it'll also be tough-nosed basketball.
Fair enough. Professor, jump in.
Well, I'm just curious. This is kind of a question, I hope you don't mind, Bart, that I've always wanted to ask a coach when they're coming into a new situation. And that's, you know, I'm assuming you've had at least an opportunity to reach out to the team, kind of introduce yourself. What is your strategy, or what are you trying to do in that first conversation? You're coming into a team that did not have success last year. So what is your first thing you're hoping to do when you meet with your new players and you're trying to introduce and establish yourself as the head coach?
That's a great question. I've Zoomed with the team and then I've had individual conversations only on the phone now because they're on spring break, so they're scattered to the four winds. So it's just been over the phone and one team Zoom. But you try to go right off the bat. At least for me, it's been hearts and minds. You know, I want them to be energized. I want them to understand that we're going to be in it together. I did want to establish that, you know, we're going to be built on a lot of hard work and dedication and, you know, and then the individual conversations, you know, I try to learn as much as I can about each kid, you know, because in, you know, in this day and age, you know, you don't have, it's not, you know, you're the coach and that means that I'm going to do exactly what you say. We don't live in those days anymore. You have to have a personal relationship and they have to know that you have their best at heart. And so I've tried to learn as much as I can about each one and their families and what makes them tick. And then, you know, try to map out a plan of where I see the, you know, their progress going and how they contribute to the team. And, you know, I want them to know that I'm excited to coach them. You know, I'm excited to, you know, be a part of their journey in life and in, their education and in ball for sure. So, each conversation is very different, very, very different.
We're talking with Bart Lundy, the new head men's basketball coach at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Coach, you had a stint here in the Milwaukee area with Marquette under Buzz Williams, so you have a familiarity, obviously, with the city and the state. Do you think that helped, or will help, I should say, give you a leg up as far as recruiting goes, or is it one of those where you've got to jump back in and kind of reestablish some of those connections as the recruiting process begins?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter. You know, I'm fortunate that I know a lot of the people, the players, that, you know, people that run the AAU organizations. But, you know, I have been, you know, away for a good bit. And so I'm going to have to, you know, reestablish those and get those guys to have trust and buy into what we've got going on at Milwaukee. And I think we can do that. You know, when I was at Queens, I had been gone for a long time and I came back and it was a little more difficult to get the local players and the players in the state. And now, you know, fast forward that 9 years. And I would say that we were the place that people thought of first. We ended up with 12 players on this last roster from the state of North Carolina and three from our city there in Charlotte. So, you know, you just treat people the right way and you hold your word. And when you make a promise, you keep it. And eventually they want their kids to play for you. And that's what we'll do, you know, in Milwaukee, just like the staff and I did in Charlotte.
Daniel?
Yeah, it's kind of going along those same lines then. You know, when Don and I do the show, we even have a little segment on it every week about regarding the transfer portal. And that has significantly changed college basketball in terms of the strategy, in terms of maybe not what the value system you put out when you recruit, but certainly how you recruit, because suddenly coaches and teams can fill a gap that they suddenly have, either because one student has already chosen to enter the transfer portal, people have unexpectedly left the program or have graduated or whatever it is. So I'm just curious, you know, what is your plan to utilize the transfer portal and how has that impacted you as a coach as it's kind of established its prominence in college basketball?
Yeah, I mean, the transfer portal, you know, you ask 10 coaches and you'll get 10 different opinions on the portal. You know, I think in my situation, you know, we have to explore the portal. You know, I think it used to be, I like to call them pools of players. You know, there's lots of different pools of players. There's high school pool, there's junior college pool, there's the portal pool, international pool, there's prep school pool. We need to be in each of those pools trying to find the best fit for UWM. And that's, you know, that's what we're going to do. And, you know, I've been very fortunate. I think we try to make the experience for our players, and the buy-in so good that we haven't had a lot of turnover, as other programs have had. You know, I've had a lot of All-Americans and guys that are really good players gone on to play high-level professional basketball. But they stayed with us, and yeah, I think the experience they have, and obviously winning is a big component in that. But that helps you to keep those guys out of the portal. But you know, we're gonna try to find the guys that you know that fit our program. I'm not gonna go after every kid. I'm gonna find the kids that we think fit, and we're gonna recruit them really hard. And that might not be a ton of guys, but we you know, you don't, it's basketball. You don't need a ton of guys. You know, you need the right guys. So you know, we'll get into the portal, and if there's somebody there, great. And if not, there'd be somebody in one of those other pools, and you know, we'll find the guys that fit what we do and fit the university, and you know, and we'll do a good job with that.
We're talking with Bart Lundy, the new men's head coach at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, the eighth head coach in UWM's history since moving into Division I back in 1990. Coach, what would you say to the fan base right now? Because they're a little cautious, I'll use that term, with regards to the program moving forward. What would you say to the fan base as you get ready to start your tenure?
What I would say to them is get excited. You know, I know it's been a while since they've had real success and teams to pull for, but we're going to put a good product out there, and we're gonna have kids that they can root for, and we're going to play really hard, and we're going to make them proud. And you know, it's they won't know until we get to November and we start to roll this out. And you know, there's nothing in life that's instant pudding, so it will take us a little bit, but we're gonna work at it, and it's gonna improve, and we're gonna win games. And so I think they should get on board now, be excited, give us a chance to win their hearts back, and I think they will not be disappointed with what happens.
Daniel.
Yeah, I just kind of going after that, like going back to you talking about the transfer portal and getting people excited. And, you know, you talked about the different pools in terms of going through that. I guess it's kind of a double question just to kind of wrap up with me. It's just, number one, you know, what do you think the differences will be in recruiting between the East Coast, you know, at Queens College and then being up here at UWM? But the other part is, you know, we know you want to recruit the program and completely understand that. But what elements about UWM, when you get a student on campus for that first tour and they're checking it out, what are the elements about UWM that you think differentiate it, that you think, yeah, when they get here, they're going to love it?
Yeah, I think it's a program that has no gaps right now. You know, we're about to open the practice facility in the fall, and that's going to be a game changer. We've got an arena downtown that seats 9,000 fans and has a ton of history and tradition. And if you look out the window, you look across and you see the Fiserv Center and where the Bucks play, where the world champions play. And we want to recruit guys that want to be pros, and we want to develop them into pros. So, that's going to be the sell. You know, obviously we're in the business of education. We're going to get guys degrees. That's number one. But we're going to work. And I need guys that want to be pros, because the way we work, if you don't want to be a pro, it's going to be very difficult to wake up and do it every single day like we're going to do it. So it's an easy sell. The city is awesome. They'll get behind a winner, and you know, we're gonna get really good players. I think the fans need to know that we're gonna get really good players. We're gonna develop them. We're gonna shoot the ball well. We're gonna guard people really hard, and I think they'll be really happy with what happens.
I think that's a perfect place to wrap it up, Coach. We can't thank you enough for jumping on the Great Midwest Hotline, with us this evening to talk about what we can expect with UWM. Congratulations on the hire. Your introductory press conference is coming up on Monday. Good luck with that. Good luck with the recruiting and all of the various elements with the move that are about to take place with you coming into our city. Can't thank you enough again for joining us. We appreciate it.
Dan, Don, thank you guys for having me. Hopefully I can come back sometime.
Love we'll have you on anytime. We'll give you the hotline number. You just jump on anytime you want. That's Bart Lundy joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, the new head coach at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Sam, give us that great read on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Well, Don, if applying for a home renovation loan has you feeling anxious, breathe and let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com today.
All right. So, Coach, again, introductory press conference coming up on Monday. We wish him nothing but the best as he's in the midst of that transition in taking over the program at UWM. Right now at the Division II level, I want to give this quick update before we move forward. Northwest Missouri State is already in the Division II championship. Augusta and Indiana University of Pennsylvania are playing right now. The winner of that game will take on Northwest Missouri State for the Division II national championship. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk with the head coach of the Division III champs at Randolph-Macon. Josh Merkel set to join us on the other side of this timeout. It's the Journey House College Sports Show powered by Waterstone Bank right here on 1250 AM The Fan. Welcome back in, Journey House College Sports Show, powered by Waterstone Bank, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan. Our thanks, as always, to Waterstone Bank for their sponsorship of our program and their collaboration with Journey House, who's doing some really great things here in southeastern Wisconsin. Go to journeyhouse.com to get a list of all of the various programs that they offer in order to help families and children out. With that, we jump to the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Really pleased right now to bring in the head coach of Randolph-Macon. He is Josh Merkel, the Division III national champions. Coach, how are you?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. Always great to talk Randolph-Macon basketball. Appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you on. I mean, one of the things that we love to cover on our show is Division III, whether it's football or basketball, with the WEAC and the other conferences that we have here in the state. And you had yourself one heck of a year, finished the year 33-1, and got the championship win with a 30-point margin. You really have one of those teams now that not only won the championship this year, many people feel like you kind of were slighted last year with the pandemic and not having a tournament, and believe that you're poised to potentially repeat. You got yourself a little bit of a dynasty there, don't you?
I don't know about that. Okay. What I do know, it was a special team. It was a special journey. I do think some of those tough things that we faced developed some grit and resiliency that led to an approach that just said, we're not going to be denied. It was a group that was really focused, locked in, attention to detail. Also, obviously, very talented group, but talented, committed defenders and committed to each other. You know, roster of just 15 and, man, 1 through 15. I mean, even our, we call them our studs, but the guys that are getting, you know, those heavy minute guys ready, they were excited to come to practice into March. And that's a unique thing, at least in my experience. You know, next year we'll start turning the page on that in a couple weeks. Guys go on spring break next week. We told them to enjoy it and everything that comes with it. But we will definitely turn the page on this win and get back to work.
Fair enough. Professor, jump in.
Well, you kind of answered some of my questions, because what I was going to do is, you know, tell me what you think you're going to remember about this team maybe 5 years from now or 10 years from now, because special team, you know, I think I read that you had 27 straight wins in addition to being 33-1, but you did reference that, you know, you call them the studs, and you've got two good ones. You obviously you've got more than two if you're national champions, but you've got Buzz Anthony and Miles Mallory. And for everybody that's up here in Milwaukee, if you can share a little bit about them and what they brought to your team this year.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the recruiting process. I'm a Maryland guy. Those guys, both from Maryland, both from the private school in Maryland, both of them a bit tweeners. Like Division I's looked at them, knew about them, but said, okay, Miles is 6'5", five man, so we'll pass. And he doesn't, you know, he's not an above-the-rim guy, but he's got great timing. He's got great touch. And sometimes, you know, being a tweener and playing at our level, you know, everybody makes it seem like Division I is everything, but we all know that that's not always the case. You know, I think it's where it's a good fit, where you can have impact. He's brought a lot of basketball joy, both these guys, by being with us. And don't know that they'd have the same experience or the winning impact at other places maybe that they would choose. Buzz, the same thing. I mean, Patriots knew about him. Everybody said, 5'10". We need bigger to win the league. And so we end up with just one of the best point guards that you will ever see. I mean, he's a, I would say, once in a generation or I mean, type of player. He rewrote the record books, third in points, first in assists in the ODAC, first in steals, second in free throw percentage, second in threes made. Just an incredible play. How about the best, most impactful player on the floor is 5'10"? And that's incredible. And he's been doing it, you know, sophomore year. He was second team All-American and player of the year. The only four-time player of the year. He was the only three-time player of the year in ODAC. I was trying to tell people, listen, you got to come see us play, because if you don't, you're missing out on seeing someone really spectacular. And then those guys, I mean, I had a guy tell us, like, that's Stockton and Malone right there. So he and Miles really connected. I mean, Buzz would just throw that thing up in the air. Miles would go get it and not dunk it, but, like, we had the most lob layups that you have ever seen. I guarantee you can add up.
That's a great way of playing, of saying it. And, Coach, I think you just, in the midst of that answer, spoke to why we covered Division III basketball on our show and Division III football, for that matter. Because you'll get Division I teams that won't necessarily look at a player like Buzz because he's only 5'10". And they do everything by measurements as far as the recruiting goes. But a player of his caliber, you'll find all over the country, so to speak, that gets overlooked by the Division I teams simply because of some of the measurements that they have or the weight or whatever the case may be. But it doesn't necessarily go into or equate how good of a talent that they are and the talent that they possess.
Well, that's a great point, but I will say this. One thing about you said is that there's, I think you might have said guys like that all over. I would still say he's unique. I would still say he is one of the few, like, not everyone that gets overlooked would be a really good player at Division I. Buzz is a winning player at a lot of Division I schools. And what going back to the other question Professor asked, one thing I think everyone will see, I think Buzz is capable of having a 10-year pro career. And then everyone will look and say, man, that guy was really good. And I don't know that Miles won't have something similar as well. He's going to have chances. I can tell you, like, Buzz has talked to about five agents that all want to represent the guy when they watch him on film. And it's like, you're reminded, yes, he was, you know, he got player of the year. So this is the best player in the country on one of the best teams. And yet he could have played up. So it's like, don't be confused by the level. When you watch this kid play, this is a player that could have really impacted the Division I program as well. Just depends on which one.
Very well said. We're talking with Josh Merkel on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He's the head coach at Randolph-Macon, and they are the Division III national champions. Professor, I'll throw it back to you.
Josh, I'm gonna turn this around a little bit and just take kind of a step away from basketball, but a little bit. I'm looking at pictures online, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're much younger than Don and I. And in one of the pictures, I think it's your son that's sitting with you in a press conference. So correct me if I'm wrong. But how do you find a way to make basketball, being a basketball coach, work with a family? Because this takes up, I mean, being a coach and being responsible for 15 young men and working towards a national championship is a ton of work, and there's a lot going on. So how do you manage that balance between family and your team?
Well, I wish my wife was listening, because I'm going to start with her. We don't win a national championship without her.
You're a wise man, coach.
Without her. And she's up there nursing our 4-month-old right now. So Yes, okay. And that is my 2-year-old, because I'm definitely not holding anybody else's kid on that press conference. It's hard enough to hold mine. And then we've got a 6-year-old, and those guys love hoops, man. It's been really cool. You know, you kind of, their window has been basketball, you know, coming to practice, and, you know, he says daddy game, and they get all excited, and, you know, they know the players' names. You know, he can say Josh Talbert, my 2-year-old. And so he's done a good job of just sitting on my lap and not saying a word. I do think he farted. And got everybody laughing before we even started one of those. And there's just nothing you can say to a 2-year-old to stop doing that. You just move forward.
That just fits so well with our program. Go get your son. Have him jump just on. That would just fit absolutely well. Hey, Coach, before we let you go, talk a little bit about the university and what it possesses for anybody who might be interested now that they've heard you here in the midst of this interview. What's life like down there on the campus within Randolph-Macon as far as the university experience goes for the students down there?
Yeah, I mean, so for that Milwaukee kid that's listening, well, it's a special place. It really is. My brother and sister went there. It's a smaller school. You have less distractions. It's in a town of Ashland, but close to Richmond. So location right there by a train station. So you can take the train and you know, be right on campus. I would say the community loves its athletic teams and got great professor and really community support. Winning is a big deal. 7th most wins in Division III. I think that is one thing that attracts, like, we run it like a Division I program, so people will sit on campus and say, man, this feels different. Like, even the 15th guy is committed. And, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, you have not all schools are created equal, even in Division I. We know this. And the same thing with Division III. So, you know, we're not a club sport. Like, we're running it at a high level. I think that's how you chase excellence. I think that's the way to do things. And so many players and coaches have done that before us. So players know what they're stepping into. Like, you're going to play to the standard. You know, I'm just the 5th coach since 56. So we got this incredible, rich tradition of players and coaches that are coming for one reason, and that's to give everything they have. And I think that's what attracts people from different states. We got a point guard from Georgia coming. We've got a guy from Pennsylvania, Charlotte, Maryland, Virginia, and, you know, still working on one from New Jersey who's coming in tomorrow morning. So it has attracted guys from different areas, Florida as well.
They were 33-1 on the year, 16-0 in the conference. They had a winning streak that lasted 27 games, and they capped it all off with a Division III national championship. We've been talking with the head coach of the Yellow Jackets, Josh Merkel. Coach, thank you so much for jumping on our program. Appreciate the time. Congratulations on all of the accolades. Well-deserved. You can better believe with the way we follow the WEAC up here, we're going to be following your team here in the near future. Thank you so much for joining us.
Love it, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate you. Take care.
All right. That's head coach Josh Merkel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
If applying for a home renovation loan has you feeling anxious, breathe and let Great Midwest Bank help you experience the state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com today.
Hey, Professor, before we get to a break, it's always amazing to hear about these universities that are located in small towns and how the community supports, and they have this rich tradition. The more he talked, the more I was thinking of a school like Whitewater or Oshkosh or La Crosse. That same feel that we see up here, they're experiencing there in the Southeast.
Well, and as he mentioned and you mentioned in terms of going over the success that this program has had, you know, that's, they have kind of embedded their way into the culture of the community by means of their success. So you can see where a community kind of want to wrap their arms around that and be a part of it. You know, you have a team that's 33-1. You want to be a part of that. That's a big deal, a national champion. And you're right. We've seen that. We saw that with Oshkosh. We see it with Whitewater. I think you see that up in La Crosse. I'm sorry, the University of Wisconsin La Crosse.
Thank you. There
and you go. Have those. You're welcome. You're welcome. So, but that's kind of the fun part of these small institutions where you get kind of a little bit more of that community feel. It's not owned by a giant university. It's not owned by a region. This is ours, and they make it ours. And it's kind of the unique part about the small college experience.
All right, let's get to a break. On the other side of the break, we're going to reset our brackets. There's only 16 teams left. The probability is there that we might be a little more successful than when we originally started. So we'll take a peek at who think, myself, the professor, Sam, could be in the Final Four in New Orleans when we get to that point. We'll also get you up to date with the Marquette Golden Eagles women's program that's taking on Toledo down at the Al McGuire Center in the third round of the WNIT, as well as some scores in the Sweet 16 when we come back. Journey House College Sports Show, powered by Waterstone Bank, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Engine number 9 on the New York Transit line. If my train goes off the track, pick it up. Back on the scene.
Welcome back in, Journey House College Sports Show, powered by Waterstone Bank, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan. Our thanks to Bart Lundy, the new head coach at UWM, Josh Merkel, the Division III national champ at Randolph-Macon, for joining us here in this hour. We're looking now at the Sweet 16, so we're going to make some predictions and reset our brackets and figure out who we believe is in the Final Four or will be in the Final Four. Before we get to that, just a quick update. 3:08 to go in the second quarter. Toledo leads Marquette 45-37. Once again, 3:08 to go before they get to intermission. And I know, Sam, you got some updates on the early games within the Sweet 16.
I do, and want to remind you guys that tournament coverage on The Fan is brought to you by Discount Liquors. For the best selection at everyday low prices, visit their two locations on Oklahoma Avenue in Maine and Barstow in downtown Waukesha. Currently, Villanova is up 34-30 on Michigan with about 3 minutes into the second half. And Arkansas and Gonzaga. Currently, Arkansas is actually up 3, 45-42. And about 11 minutes left in the final half of the game there.
All right, so let's reset the stage, reset the bracket, get rid of the first, because last week was just brutal. Everything you think you know about college basketball right out the window after rounds 1 and 2. So, Sam, I'm going to start with you. Right now, based on the Sweet 16, who do you think will be the four teams left standing when they get to New Orleans?
All right, in my opinion, I'm going to go easiest to hardest as far as decision making.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to take Arizona and Kansas to get to the Final Four. I just think, I know it was a close game between Arizona and TCU, but at the end of the day, for me, when I try to make a Final Four decision, I just base on, okay, who may have the most professional talent when it comes to the NBA and all that. Arizona has plenty of talent that might be future draft picks and all that, and I love what I'm seeing from their team, whether it be the lack of size, they make up for it in scoring. So I'm going to take Arizona as one of them. I will also take Kansas. I think they've proven that they're back to being one of those juggernauts and powerhouses. Now, the other side of the bracket is where it gets really hard for me, and I think I'm going to take North Carolina to get to the Final Four. Okay. I think it's either going to be between North Carolina or UCLA. That's going to be a great game. But I think the thing when I watched North Carolina, whether it be against Baylor or other teams, is that their size has been really giving them an advantage in tough times against other teams. So I'll go with the Tar Heels. A little bit of a hot take right there. But the hardest one for me, and it's getting hard right now because Arkansas is still up right now, 47-42 on Gonzaga. For me.
Yeah, you know why?
What's that?
You why? Because, I mean, come on. A Razorback against a Bulldog? Come on.
That's a good.
There you go, Dan.
That's a good point. I mean, but also, Gonzaga is going to Gonzaga at the end of the day.
Yep.
They're going to, eventually come up with that disappointing game in the tournament. But, man, to get to the Final Four, though, can they get past Arkansas? I don't know. I think for my final pick, I'm going to probably end up going with Arkansas, maybe. I think it's whoever comes out of this matchup right here in the Sweet 16. So, for me, it's Arizona, Kansas, North Carolina, and Arkansas.
Okay, fair enough. Professor, your turn, bud.
Yeah, look, I have learned my lesson in terms of picking it based on, quote-unquote, intelligence and experience. There's no way. I will never do that again. It's just ever. ever. So, you know, I'll go by dominant state flower color or whatever's available and go through that. It, number one, a train against a peacock. No way. The train wins. I actually like Purdue getting all the way into the Final Four in this one. I think they found the right mix. There again, you know, you look at this, you know, I guess, and I'm not doing this because I have any affiliation or affinity for Coach K, but again, a Devil should beat, a Raider should beat, a Razorback should beat a Dog. So I'm going to go Duke. And then on this other side, looking at, you know, the South region, you know, I'm looking at everything over there. I go Wolverines. Wolverines should do it. And then looking down here, here's my upset pick. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm going with my new system. You know, a Hurricane against a Cyclone, a Hurricane. Okay, everything else there, you know, a Jayhawk against a Hurricane, no, it's a Hurricane. So I'll pick Miami coming out of the Midwest region. Does it make sense? Oh, hell no, but none of this has made sense this year.
I love it.
So that's where I'm going.
No, you're absolutely right. And last week, the professor sent me a great YouTube clip from the old sitcom Cheers and essentially said you have to replace basketball with football, and it made all the sense in the world. You take this mascot over that, color schemes over this color scheme, the whole nine yards. I'm sticking with a couple that I still have left. I still have Texas Tech. I still have that iron in the fire. I still have Arizona, so I'm going to stick with them and see if that will pay dividends. But then I guess now I have to go with Kansas, even though I had Wisconsin go all the way. Thank you for not being able to shoot. So I'll take Kansas. And then it's like I want to see a Big Ten school produce. So I guess I'm going to end up rooting for Purdue because I want to see a Big Ten school produce. We've seen so many times over the last 8-9 years where the Big Ten has gotten this obscene number as far as the number of teams going into the tournament and then not being able to advance even to a Final Four. Purdue surprising me a little, not terribly, but a little, in getting as deep as they are right now. I just think they're going to have too much tomorrow going up against St. Peter, and then they'll be playing obviously North Carolina or UCLA to see who will advance there. The only thing there is both of those teams, North Carolina and UCLA, very similar as far as style, as far as size. Both got hot at the right time again. We saw that last year with UCLA, the play-in game, boom, off to the races they went. North Carolina has kind of replicated that this year, so it'll be interesting to see, as always, how that one will move forward. But for me now, I'll take Purdue, Kansas, Arizona, and Texas Tech. Let's get to a break. On the other side of the break, it's time to hand out some shovels, and I've got a sound clip that goes with mine, and we'll get to it on the other side of this timeout Journey House College Sports Show, powered by Waterstone Bank, right here on 1250 AM The Fan.
You know what? I want to shovel the funk. I want to shovel the funk. I want to shovel the funk. I feel like shovel the funk. I got to shovel the funk. You want to shovel the funk? Do you want to shovel the funk? Then go ahead. Go on.
Welcome back in one last time. Journey House College Sports Show powered by Waterstone Bank right here on 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station. Don't forget, at the top of the hour, we'll send it over to Zach Gelb and the CBS Sports Network. We'll take you for the next hour or so after us at Al McGuire, or at the Al McGuire Center, I should say. They are at the half. Toledo leads by 3 over the Marquette Golden Eagles in the WNIT third round action, 49-46. So the Marquette Golden Eagles closing the gap a little bit as they get to intermission. And one thing I failed to say, next week is our season finale of the Journey House College Sports Show. So next week it'll be a star-studded affair. We'll have just the red carpet rolled out and people will be going by, and Dan and I will be just interviewing all of the great stars within the Milwaukee area that will join us as we wrap up season number
couch that
nine
a little bit.
On the Journey House College Sports Show.
I'm thinking The Rock.
Oh, I'm shoveling it thick here on a Thursday night. Hey, Dan, it's time to hand out some shovels. Why don't, before I use mine to bury myself, why don't you hand yours out right now?
I'm going to give kind of a good one and a bad one. The good one is going to go to Fiserv Forum and everything that happened down in the Deer District. You know, for 2 years in a row, and hopefully this extends into the summer, that area has just positioned Milwaukee and promoted the area in such a great way in terms of a fantastic way to host this tournament. Everything that's going down there, the crowds, it's just done a magnificent job, and I want to promote that. On the bad end, the bad shovel, however you want to call it, I'm kind of channeling Pipe Bomb a little bit. Man, did we draw the short straw when it came to our color analysts and our play-by-play for the week that was here? I just talk about getting things wrong from, you know, claiming, you know, Wisconsin's basketball players are no longer on the team. To just poor play-by-play. I was not a fan, and it's you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Oh man,
I know how challenging it can be, and I know sometimes you can have a game that's off. I mean, everybody just does.
Yeah, absolutely, right.
But it was, as you said, the whole weekend. It wasn't meshing. It was repetitive. We could go on forever, but like you said, that wasn't the highlight. The highlight was what happened down at Fiserv Forum, the Deer District, the way the city was shown nationally. Just a great job by everyone down there at Fiserv Forum in putting on a heck of a tournament for the opening two rounds. Sam, your turn, sir.
Real quick, going off of Dan's real quick, whoever the color analyst was for Gonzaga and Memphis, I hope that I never have to hear that person call a game ever again and give analysis, because my goodness. I mean, he didn't know, like, foul trouble, what was going on, and it was pretty unbearable. So I agree with you there, Dan. Real quick.
It was a great game. That was the problem, too.
Yeah, it was such a good game, but I almost wanted to mute it at one point.
Yeah. Put on Jim and Max.
Jeez. I'll do a real quick shovel. I also have, like, a negative and the positive. I'll keep it real short, my first one. The negative, officiating in the NCAA tournament. Figure it out. That's all I got to say.
Yep.
I mean, you guys realize that there is we have the jump ball arrow possession because these guys cannot, you know, actually they're scared for a jump ball, for these refs to actually conduct a jump ball. I just think that's a little funny. But anyways, my main shovel of the night, I got to give it to, you know, the one and only St. Peter's. Look, we all know that this is probably going to be the end of the run when they go up against Purdue. But I'm giving them a little bit of hope. I'm giving them a little bit of faith. I mean, they have Doug Eddard's mustache, so that there is that. I mean, like you said, Dan, if you're picking teams based on the team names and all that, it gets a little weird sometimes, so who knows? Maybe St. Peter's can keep it up. That's going to be my shovel. Go Peacocks.
It just never gets old. We were going to have to figure out how to utilize that soundbite even after they're eliminated.
By the way, Don, real quick, let's play a game.
Go ahead.
A peacock or myself trying to be a peacock? All right? Here we go.
Okay.
Is that a peacock or me?
I'm going to say that's you.
That is a peacock. This is me. This is me as a peacock. All right, anyways, what is your shovel, Don?
Actually would have gotten that wrong. If that would have been a test, Sam, you could have written a check, had it laying on the table, and said, can you guess which is which? I would have been so furious because I would have picked the wrong one.
We've been doing it on the Rami Show. You'd be surprised at the results.
Let's
unbelievable.
Have that
Dan,
be
what were
the
you
upset,
say?
The upset alert. Run the peacock whenever there's an upset happening.
Oh, yes.
Run that.
That's a good idea.
And Sam, use it even during baseball season.
Oh, we are. So usually on the Rami Show, we have sound effects whenever something good or bad happens. We replace the bad one with the peacock. And it's not
phenomenal.
A peacock. It's me as the peacock. So there you go.
That's phenomenal. That is just the best. All right. For me, I'm going to make it real general when I'm handing out my shovel tonight. And I'm going to save the one for next week. I'm moving the soundbite to next week because next week is our season finale. And in the midst of the red carpet and star-studded affair that will be our season finale, it'll fit better to wrap up the show next week as opposed to right now. I think this week, I don't know necessarily how you hand this out, but I just want to give it to whoever, however, what entity, I don't know how this fits. Just the fact that we have a tournament this year that's being played at various sites with fans in the stands. It was so good to see all of the games, all of the sites filled, the arenas filled, people cheering, all the pageantry, you name it. It was just good to have college basketball back to a level of normalcy that we haven't seen now for 2 years. So again, I don't know necessarily who the shovel gets handed to, but I am thankful for the fact that we are seeing college basketball in the midst of this tournament back where it goes. And I also am going to do this. And I'm going to get a shovel in the head for this one, but I'm going to give one out to the NCAA. And I'm going to give one out to the NCAA for this reason. After last year's debacle with the women's tournament, when the viral picture went around the world and back with how they had set up the women's tournament with food, with the weight room, with all of the other things that got exposed in the midst of last year's tournament, the NCAA, though it took that exposure in a proverbial kick in the pants, got it right this year. And when you look down and you see all of the things that the women's tournament has and the men's tournament has, they are equal. Swag bags, weight rooms, accommodations, you name it, they are equal. It shouldn't have taken what happened last year to do it, but at least the NCAA, for once, I will pay them a compliment. They got it right. And this year, moving forward at least, we've seen the fact that the women's tournament and the men's tournament, he says five times fast, has some equality to it. And it should be embarrassing to them, being the NCAA. It took an embarrassing moment to do it, but thankfully they had enough common sense in order to get it done. Well, we're making our way towards the top of the hour. I want to remind you, next week is our season finale. Tune in. Hang on. It'll be a star-studded affair. Want to thank our guests this evening. We've got to thank Bart Lundy, the new men's head basketball coach at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, for joining us. Also want to thank Josh Merkel, the head coach at Randolph-Macon College, the NCAA Division III national champions. For the professor, Dan Underberg. For our producer, Sam Schmitz, I'm Don Wojcicki. We're back in 6-22 for our season finale. Keep it right here. Zach Gelb in the CBS Sports Network coming up at the top of the hour. Stay dry, be safe, and enjoy another weekend of some good tournament basketball. Talk to you next week.